Thank you, Lord. So, this morning, I want to take this opportunity to speak to you about the relationship between the vine and the trellis. In the past couple of weeks, we've been pretty much dwelling into this subject of abiding. And I have something that I realize. It's one of the principle of the Bible we find in John, in the book of John, especially chapter 15. But before I go any further, let's read it. John chapter 15. Open your Bibles. Might have it on the screen as well. Do I have it on the New Living? Okay. Thank you so much. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you for the work that you are doing here, Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, that you glorify your name here. And as we listen to your word, read it this morning, Holy Spirit, just teach us. I pray that you would put your word, your rhema. We don't need the logos, we need the rhema, the revelation. And I know you have it, Holy Spirit. I don't have it, you have it. So we give you room to reveal to these, your sons and your daughters, the things that you want them to know. Start with me, Lord, in Jesus' name, amen. John chapter 15, it says, I am the true grapevine and my Father is the gardener. He cuts off every branch of mine that does not produce fruit, and he prunes the branches that do bear fruit, so they will produce even more. You have already been pruned and purified by the message I have given you. Remain in me. Now, if you're following in your Bible, I would encourage you, if you haven't already, every time you see the word abide, underline it. Or remain. Abide is remain. It says, remain, the first time it says, remain in me, and I will remain in you. For a branch cannot produce fruit if it is, how do you say this word? Severed from the vine. And you cannot be fruitful unless you remain in me. Yes, I am the vine. You are the branches. Those who, once again, remain in me or abide, and I in them, will produce much fruit. Apart from me, you can do nothing. Anyone who does not, again, remain in me is thrown away like a useless branch and withers. Such branches are gathered into a pile and be burned. But if you remain, abide in me, and my words remain in you, then what happened? There's a principle. You can ask for anything you want, and it will be granted to you. When you produce much fruit, you are my true disciples. Disciple, wow. This is something that we should tweet or post on our page or something like that. When you produce much fruit, that's how we know you are a true disciple of Christ. This brings great joy to my Father. I have loved you even as the Father has loved me. Remain in my love. So, I bought a couple branches. So, all of you, you already know that. These branches came from a tree, right? But for the sake of the lesson, we're going to say this is, those pretty trees that have been in dormant tree a dormant stage, they're coming alive, right? But let's say this is a vine branch, vine tree. And this is, I cut this one from one of our trees out there. And when I cut it, it's been almost 8 days since I cut it. You see those tips here? They weren't that dry. Because every tree right now out there is budding, right? Because it's time for them to wake up. Poor branch. You all know what's going to happen to this branch, right? What is going to happen to it? We just read it from John 15. Eventually, this thing's going to be so dry, we have to burn it. You know the message of hell? That's something everybody trying to stay away from in the church. But this branch eventually is going to hell. Poor branch. Think about it. It will be burned. And then, of course, you know, pine tree is very resilient. Right? I cut this thing last week. The leaves are still, what do you call these? Leaves? Needles, yeah. Needles are still green. But I bet you, if I keep it in the back or put it upstairs in the attic, 3 weeks later I bring it down, we all going to find out the needles are going to turn. Some of them are actually turning brown. I was thinking about this passage the other day. I'm like, man, Jesus, he's such a good teacher. Because he's telling you and me, he's the tree. Unless we keep remaining in the tree, this will happen to us. So this is where we find one save is not always saved. You know why? I told you, this branch here on the piano, we assume this branch is grapevine tree. Anybody want some grapes? All right. So let's assume, are these real or fake? Okay, I hear real or fake. Hey, that's a safe place to be. I don't know. If you think these are real, put your hands up. Put your hands up. Okay. All right. If you think they're not real, put your hands up. All right. If you don't know, stand up. So how do we know these are real? Someone smart says eat one. Then you would know. Yeah, but I'd give my lesson away if I do that. So we look at these, whether they're real or not. They look like what? Come on, guys, help me out. They look like fruits. Come again, Pam. She's sitting over there really analyzing my food. That's good. So really, are they both real? That's my next question. Are they both real, or is there one real or one fake? Now some of you are really looking. But at the beginning, they both look like they were real or they were fake. So the one with the leaf is fake, Everybody say amen? Amen. All right, you got it. All right, God bless you. Let's go eat. You're done. So now let's pretend, let's just think about this is our lives, all right? Because this grape vine right here is producing fruit. These fruits are not for the vine tree. These fruits are to benefit the vine people who own the vine tree, right? So yeah, guys, these are the real ones. But these are fake. But now you know the difference between the real and the fake, because it clicked in your mind. It's the same thing spiritually. You cannot fake a fruit. So for example, I'm going to try to eat this fake fruit. Oops. Yeah, some of you are saying don't do it. You see, now what's happening? I can't even take this apart. That's plastic. In the kingdom, are we able to fake fruit? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. We are. The problem is, this grape didn't grow on a tree. Somebody made it. The real one grew from a vine. And then somebody went and picked it up, did whatever they did to it. And then we get to what? It's good. Pretty good. There's some back there for lunch. Make sure you grab it. This one I'm going to eat. But you get exactly what I meant to say. I'm sorry for whoever's going to clean later, but think about this branch. It doesn't matter how much we're going to pray in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that this branch will remain, these flowers will remain. Lord, give this branch grace. Lord, I ask, oh Lord Jesus, please. You know, I see how beautiful these flowers are. Right? They are beautiful. Doesn't matter how much I pray and intercede for this branch. These flowers will dry. This branch will eventually look like this one I cut last week. This one I cut this morning. Eventually, this branch here, all the flowers will fall. Why? Come on. Talk to me. Because this branch is not connected to the tree. Inevitably, this branch will die. So I see people in the church drying up the worries of life, the burdens of life, sickness, church hurt. I've been in the church all my life. I've been in pastoral position for 14 years, 15 years, full time. Over 20 years in the church as leaders, but 15 years in leadership position. I have seen the branches disconnected to the tree. And you're like, my brothers and sisters, no wonder you're drying. Do you think if this branch would remain in the tree, these leaves would fall? So let's talk about the process. Here's the question. Yes, they would fall, but they're turned to leaves. These trees out there, they're coming from dormant tree to spring. They're doing this. And then they're going to be looking beautiful. And then what's going to happen? You're going to see some beautiful green leaves, fresh leaves coming through, right? And then they're going to bloom and it's going to be summer and everything's going to come back to life, right? That's the way it should go. I see a lot of people in the church. And I believe what God is telling us here as a congregation. And this is my desire for our church. I don't want us to disconnect to the tree. Ricardo is not the tree. Leadership is not the tree. Jesus is the tree. As a matter of fact, God is the tree. Jesus is the grape. He's the gardener, right? He says, I am what? I am the great. Jesus says, I am the true grapevine and my Father. Yeah, I switch it. God is the grape. Is the gardener. And then God will cut every branch that does not produce fruit. Rightly so. So I want you to look at it in your life. Are you producing lasting fruit? Do you know I cannot pray for this branch to bear leaf? Let's just say to bear fruit. There is no amount of prayer and fasting that can bring this branch back to life. Why? It's cut off. Remain in the vine. Remain plugged in the tree. There are people, even here, there are people in our church, there's nothing I can do. Why? Because they're doing this. They cut themselves from the tree. There's something very beautiful. You can put that picture up there for me. Something very, very beautiful. We call it the trellis, right? Think about the structure that holds the vine. You see, now that trellis is our community. What's your community? There's this great lie and deception out there. Christians think they can do church online. Church online is, we do it for the sake of evangelism. You can't have church online. Who's your support? Notice it happened in my own life. When the enemy wants to kill and steal and destroy my life, the first thing he does in my mind, he wants me to isolate myself. The idea is remove yourself. You don't show up. You don't go to home groups. The best friend you had at church, you stop calling them. You cut them off. I want you to look at this picture. Who is your support? Your trellis. The enemy wants church people to remain in church hurt. So you live your life without the trellis. Do you know what would happen to this grapevine right there if the trellis, if the support's not there? The branch fall to the floor, to the ground. Because, you know, picture it. The branch needs support. They would fall to the ground. And then moisture from the ground will rot the fruit and the branch. And eventually, the gardener would come. Oh, I guess this branch is no good anymore. What they do? Cut the branch. That's why it's extremely important in our walk with the Lord to have a system support. You won't be able to bear fruit without that support. And it's about time for us believers to stand in the face of the enemy to say, you know what, Satan? You're a liar from the beginning. You're not going to change. The whole idea, I can do life by myself, is a lie. I cannot do life by myself. Anybody else? Well, would you repeat it? I cannot do life by myself. And when I say this, it's not like I'm so needy. Well, think about it. I'm so needy, really. Is this vine in need of the trellis? Yes. So what is your support system? What is your structure? You know, the enemy comes, he goes in the family. He destroyed the family. He destroyed the mother and the father. They start fighting, boom, and the kids goes here, goes there. Whatever happened in the past is in the past. A couple weeks ago, Kendra and I, we went to a marriage seminar, conference with a couple of you guys here. We learned a lot. And one of the things that I learned, again, I realized Satan is, he doesn't rest. You know what his goal is? Not only to kill, steal, and destroy, but he wants everybody to live in isolation. So in my marriage, he wants me to do everything in my, he's doing everything in his power for me and Kendra to plant seeds in our relationship to isolate us. It starts with maybe one of us. The same thing in friendship. The enemy wants people to live in isolation. He wants to separate us. He wants people to be so much in church hurt. I think I read this somewhere. If you despise the body of Christ now, think twice of where you want to go when it comes to heaven. Because the body of Christ will be up there. Or you think, well, we won't have a soul. Right now, we need the trellis. Amen? Who is your structure? Think about that. I have another picture with the cross. Put that up there. Notice the cross of Christ, what it does. You need the structure to hold the vine. You know, the structure can be identified as things that are done in your life to encourage you to grow spiritually. For example, in our context, we say your home group. My home group is my structure. I mean, I grew up in a cell-based church. As a matter of fact, the church we were, I was leading in Haiti, the name of the church was House to House Church. Because we divide the church in house. Our church here is a house to house church. I know some of you, your job might not allow you to go to home group every week, but at least once a month, make it a priority to be in a group. What's your structure? Look at the cross. How the cross is holding this vine. Your structure will protect your spiritual growth. You cannot grow by yourself, my brothers and sisters. I'm the vine. My father is the gardener. And he cuts every branch of me that doesn't produce fruit. We cannot produce fruit without a trellis. I put the focus on that. What are some things, according to Acts chapter 2, verse 42? What are some things that would contribute to our structures? Acts 2, verse 42 says, they were devoted in the biblical teaching of the apostles, in fellowship. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to sharing in meals, including the Lord's Supper, and prayer. See, now those four things can be trellises. Why do I have to pull teeth when I call for a prayer meeting? Have you ever thought about it? When it comes to a prayer meeting, like, you find a handful of people. And now I'm not excusing those of you who doesn't come. No, I'm not guilt trip you, no. But we should be in prayer. Because prayer meeting, prayer gathering is part of your trellis. I see it like that. It's part. I love home groups. In my church, I was always in home groups. I was always part of a group. I remember there are days, there are times in our lives when our kids were little and life was rough. I had two jobs. And I was doing some schooling, some studies. But man, I know the trellis. I know my home group was my trellis. There was a time I couldn't go to my home group in the evening. They had a home group at 5 in the morning. A bunch of guys came together. You remember that? 5 in the morning. 10 of us. I go to work like at 6 in the morning. Yeah, you're crazy. Yes, I'm crazy because my spiritual growth depends on the trellis. I just lose an hour's sleep, but I tell you, it would be Wednesday morning. Those used to be the best day. I just woke up an hour and a half a little early, drive to the church. We met at the church. We had coffee, and then we pray, we read the word, we support each other, contribute to spiritual growth for an hour. And then 6 o'clock, we all go, because all the guys, they had to go to work. You will never have time for things that would contribute to your spiritual growth. Amen? Let me say that again. You will never have time for things that will contribute to your spiritual growth. It's just the way it is. You'll never have time to read the Bible. You will never have time to go to home group. You will never have time to go to prayer. No, you won't have time. You have to make the time. Why? Because that's part of my trellis. Fellowship. Who in the church can speak in your life? I'm not saying it has to be me, but at least I hope it's the word of God. The supreme authority in our lives. Who has the last word? You or your best friend? When you're in trouble, when you're facing a situation, you're not sure what to do, who do you call? Who has the authority in your life to say, you know what, Ricardo, that's stupid. That's dumb. I thank God I do have people like that in my life. I do have people in my life where if I'm thinking something and I'm like, all right, I'm just not sure. I run what I'm thinking by them. They're like, ah, that's not a good idea. It's like, really? Oh, okay. Cool. The supreme authority, the word of God. How about the Holy Spirit? I shared this testimony and I'll finish with that. I shared this testimony with my home group last week. We went to this marriage seminar, you know, very good. Kendra and I, we're checking in, making things tune up. I call it tune up in our marriage. I think every marriage needs that. So they're talking on forgiveness. And then here they are, they're talking on forgiveness. I'm checking my heart. I'm checking with Kendra. It's all good. And then the Holy Spirit whispered in my heart. He says, well, Ricardo, how about your dad? I'm like, well, what about my dad? I thought I forgive him. And then the Holy Spirit's like, yeah, you forgive him, but right now he's going through some tough time and you're very happy about that. So my father is going through some tough time right now, and deep in my heart, I'm kind of glad about it. I was, not anymore. I repented. I got rebuked by the Holy Spirit. I wasn't thinking about it. It was just like me and my brother, we're just having a good time talking about the fact that this guy finally has somebody that would kind of squeeze him a little bit because he really squeezed us growing up. But do I forgive him? And then the Lord's like, well, Love does not rejoice in injustice. I felt so bad, but I didn't feel guilty. I felt, oh God, thank you, Lord. I'm in a marriage seminar. But because I give, the Holy Spirit changes room in my life. The gardener came with his tool, prune. He prunes. I thank God that he's pruning me daily. And I pray you give God room in your life to prune you daily. Because the more you allow him to prune you, what's going to happen? Oh, more grapes. The more pruning you endure or you allow the Holy Spirit to do in your life, what's going to happen? More fruit. Do you want more fruit? Well, that's what I want. I want us to be a church that is just blooming in the Lord. That's what I want. And I pray that all of you, that's your heart as well. You know? So I invite you to stand. Father God, we thank you for your word this morning. Thank you that you are the grapevine, the gardener. Jesus is the grapevine and you are the gardener, Lord. Thank you that you are pruning us. And Holy Spirit, right now, we give you room in our hearts. We repent of our stubbornness. We repent for all the times, the seasons that we have just not allowed ourselves to rely on the Travis. We repent from that, oh God. And this morning we submit our will to you. We submit our mind to you. We say, God, come and prune. Come and change. Come and make us more like you, Father. We want to bear fruit. This is our desire. Anybody else? This is our desire. Come on. If that's your desire, say, Lord, this is my desire. This is my desire, Father. We love you, Jesus. We thank you for the work you're doing here in this place. Thank you for your word. Thank you for the Bible. Lord, I pray that you would draw our hearts closer to your word, the Bible. That we would making us more aware every day to go to the source. Go to this source that never runs dry. For us to drink, eat, feed the Spirit, and obey the Word. That's how true pruning comes. So Holy Spirit, as we go today and continue to fellowship in the next room, thank you for your presence. Thank you for the food, the physical food we are about ready to receive. Lord, we are so grateful for everything you've given us, especially for light and life. Now I pray that your favor would go before us and the peace of Christ that surpasses all understanding would dwell with us. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, God bless you guys. Now let's go eat some potatoes. How about that? I don't know. It's back there.